The last time we get to see two iconic kaijus fighting against each other in 2021, but now they are back as the dynamic duos of the Monsterverse, and they just keep bringing the heat in this installment of Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, in this slugfest team up fun. Let's talk about everything on here on this podcast.
I scream, you scream for movies, and that's what we be doing.
What is good, movie fans? Welcome to I Scream, You Scream 4, number 4, 4 movies podcast. I'm your host, Danny Eskimlaji. As always, subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening on, and don't forget to check out my social media platforms available. They are in the description of each episode and the links. Without further ado, let's talk about some straight out fun review. And I'm talking two kaijus working together. They don't have to like each other, but they have to work together for to save humanity. And we're talking Godzilla, King Kong, or Kong, I mean, working together in some sort of collab that one of the BO boys has mentioned calling it. Well, you know, I'll just roll with the X because it's a cool title. So let's go ahead and talk about Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, which finally came out last week. And I have cannot do this episode alone. I have a returning guest from the Godzilla Minus One review. Give it up for Kyle Peffers. Welcome back to the show, man.
Welcome. Thank you for having me today.
Of course. You're the Godzilla guy, so I couldn't able to reach out to some other Godzilla podcaster or, you know, the YouTube networkers of the podcasters about Godzilla. So you're the only guy I have to reach out. So thanks for hopping on again.
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss this for the world.
All right. So, Kyle, you got to see this movie Friday. I got to see this Sunday. Now, just to literally ask about the PLF format you just saw, and what format did you see it in?
I saw it in Dolby.
I saw it in IMAX this past Sunday, and I will say the screen does show a lot of tinted black top and bottom, but that's because it wasn't shot entirely, but it makes sense.
Right.
But 45 minutes of the entire movie shot in IMAX in certain scenes, I still enjoyed it. Like, I was expecting just good amount of IMAX chunk during the fun moments, and they still delivered. So I gotta say the IMAX experience is cool, as if not as perfect as Dune, but I still enjoyed it either way. So,
and I didn't really notice that much of a difference from in the Dolby as quality wise. It was very solid where I was.
Yeah, I have to try out Dolby IMAX Dolby sometime this year. I'm trying to think of a movie I can go see a Dolby, but they're not even near me. I'll have to go like out of my way to like an hour or somewhere just to get there, AMC wise, at least for right. Dolby. All right, but quickly tell your thoughts to the listeners, initially your quick thoughts on this movie. What did you think of it?
I thought it was quick and fun. I really enjoyed myself with this. It took me back with all the Easter eggs from the original Showa era. And that's what Adam Wingard was going for. That wasn't supposed to be dark and gloomy. It was light and fun and in your face.
That's totally me. I agree. Just now, this is the part where I'm about to literally mention to the listeners, if they haven't seen this movie, which I would recommend if you're just looking for some popcorn fun, don't expect good humans. Don't expect plot. Go in like you're about to watch a WWE. I said this in my TikTok review, but it's a WWE Monster Slugfest vibe. And I mean, it's fun as hell for this type of movie, and that's what I've been expecting. And you know what? Some people have been critically comparing it to Godzilla Minus One, which, to remind everyone, they're not the same movies. Godzilla Minus One is just a cinema cultural phenomenon. And Godzilla X Kong the New Empire is just some fun Monsterverse action. That's what you're going to expect if you're going to go to this type of movie like this. And for me, I agree, it's dumb, straight, fun in your face, action, popcorn. This is just where the fun begins. And I just didn't care how flawed it was. I will admit it's not perfect, like I stated. It's just straight up in your face fun. I just loved the fights. The Hollow Earth. Man, I don't know how to start this, but I don't want to spoil this to the listeners and viewers that are like listening to this episode. But I think we could just break down a little bit on like the favorite moments and like the fights and the visuals, the CGI. You know, there's one perfect, there's one human character I rather talk about, which I think he's my favorite. And obviously, I have one disliked human character coming back, which we'll get to right this sec. But Kyle, what did you think of the fights and CGI and visuals overall? And did it feel like messy to you or just perfectly fine the way it is?
Well, firstly, I thought it was for the fact that I almost forgot that it was CGI'd.
It was
very well done. Again, it was Dolby-wise, so I almost forgot that it was CG'd. So, like you said, the Hollow Earth fights were fantastic. The surface fights were fantastic. To me, Zuko stole the whole movie. That was my favorite character the whole movie.
Yeah, Zuko's a nice touch to the ring. As like, you know, there is a title in some future Monsterverse movie called Son of Kong. And do you think it would happen if this was the case that Zuko would be Kong's adopted son, or just, I don't know. Do you think it would just really happen at this point for all fans to embrace?
Well, when Godzilla versus Kong first came out, I think you'd know this too. This one movie was penciled in as Son of Kong already. It was supposed to be Son of Kong with trickles of Godzilla, and then it kind of turned into the Origins, and then to Godzilla X Kong. I think we've already got Son of Kong with the Zuko aspects to it. Whereas, I think, to me, it felt like Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, Zuko's a nice ring. It feels like, you know, there's a lot of apes in this movie in the Hollow Earth. And Scar King, like, is the leader and takes over and tribes the entire ape people. Kind of feels like a Planet of the Apes vibes, if we're just going to Hollow Earth or Kong discovers. Yeah, actually, I wouldn't say Caesar. I don't know. I mean, because Caesar wouldn't be this kind of much of a villainy if he was in this movie. I think Zuko would be kind of like Caesar to me. I don't know. Well, maybe Kong. I don't know. But it just feels crazy.
Caesar in the beginning of the story was still in the middle of, he was with the humans, but he also is an ape. Zuko is more, this is the first ape that's been my friend, but I'm loyal to Scar King. Because I have to.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, everyone has to bow to Scar King at this point, but, you know, it's just like an entire slavery of like what Scar King does. But Scar King, I thought he was a cool villain. I think I wish there was a little more lore about Scar King. But I think there's a lot sense that I do understand about why why Shimu is in this movie, which Shimu is an ice titan. It's a girl, right? Shimo's a girl. Yes. Shimu. Okay. So Scar King is controlling Shimu. And that's the second titan villain that you mentioned. There's a second villain. And I don't know how you were able to predict this, but it was true. I mean, hats off to you for there, though. But so I think the overall is the entire villainly is Scar King as the villain. I think it's just the idea of Shimu being added is just like a slavery thing, pretty much. I guess that's like where the aspect, I wish the lore was explored a little more about that. I think that was just the only flaw people were expecting about knowing these titans, Scar King, Shimu, Zuko, and just more about the history of like Hollow Earth. Maybe that's what a lot of people that don't enjoy these type of movies were expecting. But I mean, just that, I guess.
The same way. It felt rushed, in my opinion.
Which is why there's Monarch Legacy of Monsters, if they have time to explain. Which, by the way, I was able to watch the show before seeing Godzilla X Kong. Love the aspect of humans that, you know, this is a better way to like tell everyone. If you rather see more human development and character relationships, Monarch Legacy Monsters is for you. But if you're looking for straight fun, I mean, the Monsterverse movies, Godzilla X Kong, Godzilla versus Kong, King of the Monsters, they're all for you. They're all right. For the people, listeners and viewers that are looking for just types of what their expectations with the Monsterverse. I mean, Monarch Legacy Monsters is like the best thing people can actually watch and just enjoy out of it. So,
well, I feel like Monarch Legacy of Monsters is the human story. It's like, so you watch Monarch Legacy of Monsters for the human aspects, and then you can watch the Monsterverse movies for the monster's point of view. It's like what we wanted in Cloverfield, where Cloverfield was from the humans, but you really wanted to see it from that monster's point of view that we never got. Monarch Legacy of Monsters kind of splits that. So we have what the humans were doing throughout the whole saga, and then the movies can just be monster action.
That's right. Speaking of that, Adam Wingard, you mentioned earlier, solid job. He literally gave the fans what they truly want, including us. So he gave Godzilla and Kong more screen, but if we're being real, Kong is more of a movie of his than Godzilla. Let's be honest right there. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I wasn't expecting much for Godzilla's screen time, which it's obviously shortened, mostly Kong's movie. But he delivered that. He gave the Titans more star screen, which at this point, the Titans were like more of a star than just the humans, which is what people want, what fans want. And Adam Wingard just came and delivered, brought some characters back, brought a new character, but make less humans this time in their interactions. So I think it solidifies Adam Wingard really is passionate for the entire fan base and makes this just good and entertaining enough for people to enjoy without an issue. So I truly think Adam Wingard delivered more Titans as a stars than the humans. Because none of the human cats in this movie are just true stars. At least, not most.
Right.
Godzilla's a star. Kong's a star. They're just the stars people love to see. They're like the main attraction since Godzilla versus Kong. And it turns out the movie wasn't a fluke after all, after COVID. Turns out people want to see more of these guys. And we're going to get to little numbers for box office, which isn't going to be a long conversation just in a bit. But what do you think about that? What I just said about Adam Wingard delivering more what fans want.
Well,
were you satisfied?
I was satisfied, and I feel that it was better as a Kong story than a Godzilla story. This was more like a Final Fantasy game where Kong was the main player and Godzilla was like Bohemoth or
Bahamut
or something that he summons because Godzilla at this point is overpowered to the point where he is the last strike, so to speak. You don't use Godzilla until you absolutely have to. And throughout that movie, it got to the point where Kong needed him. So that's why Godzilla's sole purpose was to help Kong, not a Godzilla movie.
That's right. Really thought this is a buddy's cop kind of thing. So Kong needed a buddy cop right there with him.
And, exactly.
You know, the fun just gets great. So, I want to bring up one of the human characters I like a lot, and I thought he was clever. Adam Wingard brought him over, just the fact they worked on a project before. So, Trapper is played by Dan Stevens, and I'm talking about the actor Dan Stevens to the listeners and viewers. What do you think of Dan Stevens in this movie? I truly think he was fun.
He was like, fun.
Absolutely fun. Of
Jurassic World with Chris Pratt as the tracker in Jurassic World of controlling Blue.
That's insane. And
I feel he was like the same premise of the dentist, the veterinarian of the Titans.
Yeah, I wish a little more explored, but again, just obviously dumb plotless. I can see him
joining the Monarch of Legacy of Monsters in season two. I can see them bringing them in then.
Yeah.
Because technically Legacy of Monsters is still set in the before Godzilla X Kong. so we could see Tracker's origins in Legacy of Monsters Part 2.
I agree. I hope he comes back for Season 2. I don't expect him to... Now, I was disappointed Nathan Lind couldn't return. I don't know what happened to him. It wasn't even talked about. So I guess I was a little left out for some reason. Gia, do you expect Gia to be in Monarch Season 2? And what did you think of her in this movie coming back? I still think she's the heart and soul to Kong, pretty much.
She's the heart and soul of Kong, but again, I don't want to spoil things. She's also a representation of a very iconic duo. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Her presence is now the Legendary's version of what Toho used to do with a certain character. And she now represents that.
Rebecca Hall returns. I thought nothing much to me, but Brian Tyner Henry coming back was the thing I was so worried about. And it just didn't bring me fun attention with this guy. I just don't like Bernie Hayes in the last one. And then he comes back in this one. I don't think he wasn't much of a favor to me, honestly. I still don't love Bernie in these movies. Any thoughts on Bernie in this movie again?
Last one. You delete him and you'll never notice that he was missing.
That's what I would do. I mean, seriously. I mean, I don't want to talk smack about the actor. No offense. Just the character overall is just wonky at times. I just don't like Bernie. If he comes back next one, watch me next snap my neck.
I'd rather have pretend. Miley Brown than him. Kyle Chandler.
Kyle Chandler. My favorite actor up to this day. I wish he would hopefully come back. Maybe a Monarch Legacy. Who knows?
Right.
We'll get to see that. Let's see. There's nothing much to speak, but entirely, what would you rate this movie on? Like, how many stars and what score? I went with 5 stars, but then considering my over exaggeration, I'll probably go with 4.5 at this point.
If I'm going out of 10, I'd give it a 7.
I gave it a 10 out of 10 already on my tweets. Yeah, I'll just give it a 8.5, 9, 10 out of 10. Just for the fact, you know, I was able to enjoy the aspects of Hollow Earth and Kong and like the dynamic between him and Zuko. Godzilla roaming around trying to charge up, and then the fun just gets started the second act, and the third act could have done a little longer. So maybe right. I actually did enjoy this, but then I probably exaggerate the score a bit. I'll probably just rate it, 4 out of 5, 4.5, 8.5.
Right, exactly.
But I will stay, my anticipation for this movie was met through expectations. I totally love it. Totally love as I ever do, so.
I just hope the future films, Godzilla has to be using the alpha call. It's like, we know he's the alpha, but to this point, he hasn't really rallied the troops, so to speak. So there's really not a world-ending phenomenon that I feel like, okay, this is it. This is the end, unless he calls in the reinforcements to the cavalry. I wanted to see Behemoth. I wanted to see maybe Rodan. And he couldn't handle it without them.
And who do you think should do the next MonsterVerse installment? Because Adam Wingard's got...
I want to see his story.
I could, but he's got projects. So if he wasn't able to come back... Name one person who could return, or just someone new who can, like, actually, that's a tough question because
you've got Garrett, he can come back.
You got Michael Daugherty, who did King of the Monsters.
Yep.
Jordan Von Roberts, who did Kong Skull Island.
I mean, you could have Nolan do it.
Nolan. Okay, let's put Nolan put Denis Villeneuve out of it because they're not type of monster. Look, they can make stories better. But then what can they do with the franchise that's almost half-baked as Michael Bay's Transformers, if we're just talking how this franchise, where this franchise will go.
I will want Michael Bay anywhere near this.
Me too! But anyways, I think Adam Wingard should come back for the third one, and hopefully it caps off the Godzilla collab Kong aspect, and then just separate the monsters and make the separate movies again with somebody else.
Right.
And you know, people would love this. People don't mind seeing this stuff because box office right now made $80 million for this weekend. It overprojected, so it shows people really love seeing these two together. And at this point, either fight each other, team up again. It's how you slice or dice it. People are not over this type of event. So, what did you think of the box office projections for that? Oh, $80 million is big.
That is big and more than I expected.
I was predicting $59 million.
Yeah. But
if you were predicting one a weekend, what would you predict it before?
About 60.
60. You're one higher than me.
But I think it was more the advertisements got people in. I will ensue Godzilla Minus One into that because of the
Godzilla's high got an Oscar.
That they want to see what Legendary would do to combat Minus One.
Godzilla's an Oscar. It really helped.
Right.
He's got an Oscar. Kong may not have an Oscar, but someday he might. Somebody, he might. He might, and he will in the future. Far, far away.
See, to also answer your question of who should direct, I wouldn't mind seeing a new director take control of a different Titan.
Mm.
And do a solo film.
Yeah, I could see that. Maybe Mothra. Maybe right,
exactly. Mothra in the Hollow Earth. Or Behemoth reforestations of Brazil. Or, you know, the Muto's origin story. How did the Muto start? Because unless you read the comic books, you'd have no idea about Muto Prime.
I think it's best to if they can put the aspects of the TV show, pretty much. I don't see the movie even happening, but yeah. That's still unanswered that we're going off to, but we will see who can come up with the third and final Godzilla collab. I think Wingard should come back for sure.
Exactly.
I think people will still enjoy regardless how dumb it will just really go. We'll just have to see where the aspect goes and all that. Quickly, back to the box office. I'm going to have to say this, but David Zaslav with Warner Bros. Discovery is having a fire year. And we all hate this guy right now for what he's done with Sam's Lot going to Max, Coyote versus Acme just being cut off the shelf along with Batgirl. But right now, he's got two fire hits. Dune 2, which, and Godzilla X Kong, they're both by Legendary. And I could just always thank Legendary for keeping in check. But in this case, Warner Bros. Discovery is having a fire year right now with Dune and Godzilla being the hits right now. So what did you think of the studio right now and on point?
I'll just take the ball and run with it. Don't let yourself cool off, because if you cool off, then you'll lose your momentum.
They got Furiosa this May with Anya Taylor-Joy. Joker 2, they got another Warner Bros. Title. I can't think of one. Beetlejuice 2, that's also going to be big than most people think. So we will see where their track history goes, because Universal last year had a fire year. Paramount in 2022. We could see Warner Bros. Becoming the next A-plus box office run this year. We'll see where it goes, but judging the legs for Godzilla X Kong, it has an A-, and I think the legs will just run really decent going to next month. There's less competition, and until May kicks off with the summer blockbuster, so we will see where it goes. Oh my god. Well, is there anything else we should talk about? Because that's almost been the entire episode. Pretty much nothing else to say, but Godzilla X Kong is just enjoyable overall. And if you haven't seen it, you're looking for something fun and straight up dumb, this movie's for you. Check it out before it hits streaming earlier, because that'd be the most fucked up thing David Zaslav had already done.
Right. And for like an old school fan like me, it reminded me of the old 70s movies. Because that's all they were, was stupid and fun.
Yeah.
And goofy.
If anyone compares it to Minus One, please don't do that.
It's like, if you're comparing it to Minus One, it's like comparing the 54 movie to Godzilla versus Gigan in 1971.
Yeah. Just different universal movies. Yeah. That's just like that.
There's no comparing. There's two different genres. There's two different styles. It's totally. Like comparing Heisei to Showa. It's comparing Millennium to Showa. They're two different brands.
The Showa element was really the goodest part, too.
Yeah.
Godzilla going all pink is the Showa shit I like to see. Kong having a mechanical arm, a Showa type.
And man. Adam made it realistic of why he's pink. He made it compatible, not just, oh, he's pink. He made it, you know, nature-wise, why he's that color.
I think
granted, in the trailer, he's like, oh, yeah, he's pink, cool. But in the when you actually see it, it's like, oh, okay, I can get behind this.
Yes, totally. I think he should come back next. I think Wingard should come back and do the third one. That's for sure.
Correct.
All right, Kyle. Well, anything else we should touch base on before we wrap this up?
Not without spoiling the whole movie.
Absolutely. Well, Kyle, so as much as I really like for you all to tell the listeners where they can find you, I know your podcast has been going on. So instead, where can the listeners or expect when you return? Or that's all I got, really. Sorry about your podcast.
Hopefully still when the second game comes, but it's going to be an independent project rather than a collaboration. So it'll still be the Kyle Peffer's Mutant Football League podcast. And it'll probably kick back up July, August when Mutant Football League 2 comes out.
That's right.
And I'm just going to sit on the shelves until then, because at this point, no one cares about the first game. They want the sequel.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I respect that.
Me too. I'm just waiting for the second game.
Why beat a dead horse with the first game when 2 months down the road, a brand new game will come out?
Oh, yeah. So that's where you guys can check out Kyle Peffers and the MFL podcast. But you'll have to wait. But you can at least archive and listen to his episodes as support. And I have been guest on this show a couple times. So you can find me over there with his episodes if interested, or the MFL listeners that are joining the episode just for Kyle Peffers. And just a little quick announcement going forward next month. There is absolutely nothing else for me to see next month. So I get the whole month off of not seeing anything, but I will do a little special episode, uncertain at the moment, but it will be a special guest with him, of course. And it'll be all about the summer blockbuster, but it is uncertain, but a little special episode coming up at the end of April. The only way you can stay tuned for that is for all the listeners and viewers of this podcast, I Screen, You Screen 4, number 4, 4 movies. Subscribe to whatever you're listening on, podcast-wise and YouTube-wise. I'm on YouTube as well. So if you're not on YouTube and you're just listening to podcast audio, you're not getting the story enough for the views. Well, not the views, sorry. The looks and more YouTube content on the way for more faces. Like me, Kyle, and future guests along the way. Subscribe on the YouTube podcast available as well. My social media links, Twitter, X, TikTok, will all be in the show notes of the description below the episode. So that's where you can find my audiogram clips and so on for my social media platforms. So, Kyle, anything else to put out?
Nope, I think you covered it all, sir.
And, as always, I don't think there's something else to say, but, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dan Eskimaji, the host of I Screen, You Scream 4, number 4, for the movies. Stay screaming for the movies. See you all next time. Take care, and good night. Peace.